General Motors' initial public offering may be the largest IPO ever. So can champions of government bailouts claim a resounding success? It seems to have inspired Warren Buffett's recent New York Times article in which he says we should thank the government for bailing out the failing GM and the failing banks. To our freedom fighters tonight, Reason Foundation's Adrian Moore, CEO of Infa Energy Brokers, Brad Schaefer, and Democratic strategist Sasha Burns. You're a businessman as well as a political commentator. Yes. Can you bring it in your heart to thank the government for bailing out fellow business folks who failed?
In this particular case, I have to agree with the stage.
All right, you're killing me. Why?
Moment. Well, look. What we do know about what the world looked like before the bailout was.
Well, we know what Henry Paulson told George Bush the world would look like without the TARP.
Right. Well, I mean, look. Here's what the world looked like, if I may, for a second. Credit froze in the U.S. economy. People couldn't get consumer car loans. You just go. There's a whole laundry list of what was wrong with the country. And the fact of the matter is that without those bailouts, it would have gotten worse. And I believe that it was the right thing to do, even though I don't like them as a policy going forward.
Okay. Was George Bush right to reject what he said were his free market instincts and go with a big government version of government? We'll borrow from the Chinese to bail out banks that may not want it, may not need it, and by the way, we'll end up owning General Motors?
Judge, you're not going to ask me to defend George Bush.
Young lady.
When this is an Obama, President Obama initiative to bail out GM. Yes, he was absolutely right. And there's a lot of conversation about how much money has been spent. But it had to be, because otherwise we would have been in a depression, not the recession that we're in.
Adrian. Bring us back to our senses, to the Constitution, to the free market. TARP was supposed to pay for toxic mortgage assets. That's the name of it. Instead, they bought a car manufacturer.
Yeah, and we shouldn't get too excited about this IPO, because we're still going to own an awful lot of GM even after those shares are sold. So we're a long, long ways from the finish line. But the bottom line is, in all of this, is that we have a lot of theories about what might have happened if we hadn't bailed out GM. But what we know from everyday practical reality is that failure is part of what makes the capitalist system work. And if you don't allow failure, if you buck up failure, if you backfill failure, you just invite more failure. So we kept GM alive for a while, but we've encouraged a system where this idea that we're going to bail companies
right.
out becomes part of the situation. And we're in debt up to our eyeballs and thinking about tax increases to pay for it.
Brad,
our situation's no better off.
How does the government decide right. who to bail out and who to let die on the vine? They didn't bail out Ma and Pa.
Right.
They didn't bail out any small businesses. They bailed out some banks that needed it and some that didn't. And now we end up owning a car manufacturer that costs more to make the car than it sells it for.
Well, first of all, let's remember, the government is making money on this deal. So I have no problem with that.
What about the Constitution?
Right.
How does the government decide who to save when it has to treat everyone equally?
I understand that, and I understand the constitutional implications of this. There's no power for the federal government that I can see in the Constitution to do this. However,
thank you.
Right. However,
not being rude.
Sorry, but I mean, you cannot follow the Constitution to your own destruction. At some point, you have to take a shot and say, look, I don't agree with this. But this is the fact of the matter: is if this we don't do something very quickly, we're going to go down.
What will they bail out next, Sasha?
Well,
labor unions, hospitals,
Judge,
health providers,
California.
Things the government wants to control, the state of California, perhaps.
What we're going to focus on next is deficit reduction, remember? But, you know, drastic times call for drastic measures, which is a lot of what this is about. Usually I would say, yeah, let them die. I don't buy GM. But in this situation, hundreds of thousands of jobs were saved, and that's what it was about.
We got about 30 seconds, Adrian. Is it unseemly for the third richest man on the planet to write an article in the New York Times thanking the government for bailing out Goldman Sachs, which paid him, I don't know how much money per second, an obscene amount of money came from the taxpayers?
Yeah, it was pretty rich and quite nauseating to read. I mean, we have... like you say, there's nothing in the Constitution to do this. It was a huge mistake. Just because making a mistake sometimes doesn't result in disaster doesn't make it any less of a mistake. It was the wrong thing to do, and it'll always be the wrong thing to do. depression or no depression. You've got to let things adjust, or in the long run, you'll pay for it, and we're going to be paying for it.
Schaefer, Moore, Burns, stick around during the break. We have a lot more to talk about. You won't even be tempted by the sales on Black Friday if this new tax policy gets put into place. You won't believe what they want to tax next. Back with our freedom fighters after this. Is a national sales tax on its way? Oh, what will they think of next? Former Fed Vice Chair Alice Rivlin and former Senator Pete Domenici are pushing for one. Their bipartisan commission coming out with a plan to get the deficit under control and a new tax. No surprise, is the centerpiece. Back to our freedom fighters for reaction, Moore, Schaefer, and Burns. Adrian, when will the government learn? Take money out of private enterprise. It is consumed by the government. It doesn't produce wealth. It is destroyed. It's gone.
Yeah, it's, there's this recurring theme here over the last few weeks that we all know we have this huge deficit. We have a huge problem we have to deal with. And clearly, obviously, we're going to have more revenue to do that. And I say, no, it's not clear. It's not obvious. This is a spending problem, pure and simple. And it's got to be addressed by cutting spending, pure and simple. Hard, very, very, very hard. But it took us a long time to dig ourselves into this hole, and we can't just tax our way out of it.
I suspect, Brad, you might be with me on this one. Yeah. This is called the value-added tax, or known by its initials as VAT, V-A-T.
Right.
And it stinks. It basically adds to the price of whatever you're going to buy. You don't know if you buy a hamburger for $3 or a house for $250,000, which part is the price and which part is the tax.
Right. I mean, they're very popular in Europe because you don't feel it, but you still pay the same amount of money. The problem with taxes, I don't understand why it is, and I agree with Mr. Moore, I understand why it is that we cannot first exhaust every option of cutting spending. When you have a business, it's a closed system. You cannot just continue to pull, you have to work with the revenue system that you have. And what happens is you take a look, you look forward, and you say, you know what, we can't afford this, we can't afford this. And to just stick it to the American people again, that's a pretty high tax too, 6.5%. It makes no sense to me.
Do the Democrats, do the big government Republicans really want another tax in a recession after all we've been through, Sasha Burns?
The national sales tax, the VAT, is just one of the recommendations they've made. They've also made a lot of recommendations about lowering the corporate tax rate, about changing the highest income tax rate. So it's just a suggestion. And if I may, Judge, it seems to me that the reason that we're focused on the VAT out of all of the billions of pages that came out is because it goes along with your theme that Obama is a socialist.
Well,
I think that's why we're talking about this.
Well, we're talking about it because it was proposed yesterday. We're talking about it because a Democrat, Alice Rivlin, and a Republican, Pete Domenici, have proposed it. And the president is a socialist. The president would prefer to regulate our lives from Washington, D.C. He wants to complete what his hero FDR just started. Adrian, is the president a socialist?
Well, his policies certainly are. I can't speak for his mind, but you know, if you look consistently from regulatory policy, domestic policy, spending policy, it's all designed to increase the government's control of decision making. I mean, that's essentially what socialism is.
Which produces more prosperity? Private enterprise, entrepreneurship, low taxes, risk and reward, or central planning by the government? Sasha?
Obviously. We're a capitalistic society for a reason. It's all of those. The government, though, going back to this article of Warren Buffett's, it was the only thing that was big enough to help us out of the situation we were in, which the deficits didn't take that long to create.
All right.
It only took 8 years.
Let's get back to the VAT. Wouldn't that hurt little people? Wouldn't that hurt average people by raising the price of everything that they need, from gasoline to toothpaste to groceries?
Absolutely. It's
progressive. Do you want this? Do the big government types really want to impose this on us, whether they be Republicans or Democrats?
Could you separate me from the big government types?
Don't tell me you're a small government Democrat. You'd be a very, very small group of people. Go ahead.
The the Republicans ought to like it because it's regressive. No, I don't think it's a good idea. It also, interestingly, gives you such an easy way to cheat because you're not signing a tax form. You're just dealing with the guy and saying...
So you go to the drugstore and you say, here's the vitamins, I don't want to pay the VAT.
Or
the
you druggist, do it in Europe all the time.
The druggist gets in charge. What will happen to the economy if we add taxes, a sales tax that will tax everything we buy?
Well, I mean, just it's just a matter of common sense. You're not going to be able to spend as much money into the marketplace because you're going to have to give more of it to the government. What I don't understand is why the quote-unquote party of the little guy would impose a tax like this, which penalizes every single American for making a purchase. And people can make the argument, oh, it's voluntary. You don't have to buy this. You don't have to buy that. You do have to buy food. You do have to buy gasoline. This is insidious because it's hidden. And it's been used in Europe. And the fact of the matter is, the more you give the government, the more they're going to spend. Taxes should not ever be used to close deficits.
Adrian, we got about 30 seconds. I'll give you the last word. A national sales tax or no?
No, heck no on a national sales tax. I mean, there should be no on any kind of tax, but a sales tax, because it's regressive and because it's hidden, is the worst kind. A national sales tax is ridiculous. This is what happens when we have bipartisan solutions. We get the worst spending cut ideas and the worst tax cut ideas combined. You know, I say, no, let's break it down. Let's go after the spending and forget about feeding more of our money into the maw of this government that just burns it up.
Got it. Brad Schaefer, Adrian Moore, Sasha Burns. It's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us here.